So Acts 20, starting in verse 1, according to Sermon Central, the Hallmark, who puts out postcards or cards, Hallmark says 90% of consumers want more choices in encouragement cards. That will allow them to share and support unique ways to real life situations. So encouragement. We all need encouragement at some point in life. So if you remember, here in Acts, there was a riot that was about to take place in Ephesus. And Paul wanted to go in because his friends were in the theater. They wouldn't let him. The town clerk ends up getting this under control. And as the town clerk ends up... How's that? There you go. As the town clerk ends up getting it under control, then they... end up dismissing the crowd. So let's pick it up in verse 1. It says, after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. So after the crowd had been dismissed, then the uproar had ceased, Paul gathered his friends, went sent for them, and he had a purpose. Number one was to encourage them. After a major setback, then encouragement is important. So they had this uproar, so he didn't want them to go on through, I guess, ministry thinking that there was going to be a problem or be discouraged. So he wanted to put encourage and instill that back in them, because he didn't want them to lose sight of what God was doing. And that's what's important, is when we get discouraged, we lose sight of what it is that God is actually doing. So here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. So God is the one who does the comforting. God is the one who puts in, instills comfort or encouragement into us. So we should realize that it is God who is working around us, through us, in us, but he's working for his purpose and his will. So Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, in a devotion, he says this: God called Moses to a certain task. Preceding Moses, God had already made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, long before Moses ever came along. Now, at this point, he begins to involve Moses in order to move his will or his activity. God led Moses. He worked through Elijah. He directed Paul. He's guided men and women of God throughout centuries. And the same God approaches you and me in order to do his will. So it's not about what we want. It's about what God's will says he wants. And God will use you in order to bring his will and move his will along to the next spot or the next step. And it is up to God and what he's wanting to do, because he's the one that's got the plan. And so we have to follow him one step at a time. So, first of all, Paul wanted to encourage them. Secondly, is he wanted to say farewell. Why would you say farewell? Because he's leaving. And if you look back to verse 23 of Acts 18, it says, after spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia, Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. So what he had plans to do, was to strengthen the disciples. So that was his mission, was as he made his way back through, he was strengthening those whom he had already been working with. So he departed for Macedonia. Notice Acts 19 verse 21 says, now after these events, Paul resolved in spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem. After I have been there, I must also see Rome. So this is his plan. So his plan was to go to Jerusalem, roundabout through Macedonia, and then on to Spain by Rome. So he has a plan. He lays it out for us. According to Acts 16 and 17, if you'll remember, he had a vision, the Macedonian vision, a Macedonian call, and that's how he ended up getting connected in Macedonia, was he made his way there in order to fulfill what God was calling him to do, and retracing his steps now, going back and strengthening those believers. So in Acts 20, verse 2, says, when he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. So as he made his way towards Greece, of course, it says here that he was giving them encouragement. So that was his whole plan, was to give them encouragement. And so he made his way back through encouraging. Verse 3 says he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So he spent 3 months there, and this is in Greece, most likely in Corinth. While he's there in Corinth, he did something that you may not realize. And what he did was write what we call Romans, the letter to Romans. I want to try to read that to you, not the whole book of Romans. If you need to study Romans, there is a Bible study doing that. But look at Romans 15, starting in verse 23. And it says, but now since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I've enjoyed your company for a while, at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share the spiritual blessing, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with him in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I recommend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchreae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in the way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. So, this letter to the Romans was written during this time here that we find in verse 3, the 3 months that he was in Greece. This letter was being written, and he relates his plans to go to Jerusalem and then on to Spain by way of Rome. So he lays all this out, and he's telling them exactly what he plans to do. Now, have you ever wondered what happened to Priscilla and Aquila? Well, they pop back up here in verse 3, and he says to greet them. They were from Rome. And so he had, you remember back in Acts 18, verse 28, that they had helped Apollos, and then they disappeared. And we haven't seen them for several chapters. Well, somewhere along the way, they made their way back home to Rome, and now they're there serving in the church. Paul evidently knew it and said, greet them. So they made their way home. Now think about this for a minute. Paul's mission, we've already pointed out, is to strengthen the disciples. He's backtracking and he's strengthening those believers. So in the letter to Romans that he wrote truth in order to strengthen believers. I don't know if you've ever taken time to read Romans, but Romans is the most concise book of Christianity you're ever going to find. And I'm going to lay it out for you. I'm going to give you in about 3 minutes what takes many people years to figure out. So when you look at Romans chapters 1, 2, 2 and 3, you find that mankind has a problem. We're lost and we're depraved. And we're sinful and we're prone to do evil. Our hearts will deceive us. There's nothing good in us. And that caused a problem. And because of that sin that took place, that was handed down from Adam and Eve, that sin that dwells in you and dwells in me, it creates a problem and it creates a barrier between a sinful man and a holy God. And there's nothing you can do on your own in order to provide a salvation or in order to fix that problem. So when you look at 4 and 5, you find the remedy to fix that problem. And that remedy is Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, who came and he died upon the cross and he paid the penalty for your sin. And God allows a transference, your sin, to be placed upon him. And he took that punishment for your sin, but also his righteousness to be placed upon you, and you can be called righteous. And then when you keep going and you look at 6 and 7, here's what we're missing. Here's what numerous Christians miss. When you look at chapter 6 and chapter 7, there, if you belong to Jesus, there is a change that will happen in your life. You will not continue living in sin. You will not continue living like the world, because now you are a child of God, and as a child of God, you can no longer live like the devil himself. And if you say, hey, I can, I'm telling you, you got a salvation problem. If you can live like the devil, you got a problem with Jesus, because you may not truly know salvation to begin with. And then when you get to chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is introduced. Believe it or not, he doesn't show up in Romans until chapter 8. And so the Holy Spirit is introduced, and from 8 through 16, by the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells all believers, you have to be a believer to have the Holy Spirit. So by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, then you're taught how to live in the midst of the world as a believer, the things you ought to be doing as a believer, as a Christian. In other words, how to have faith in a world that's fallen apart. That's who we are as Christians. And that's what he wrote out. So the whole idea is to strengthen believers. So he incorporated that into the whole book of Romans, and he laid it out there clearly, truth that you and I can count on and we can believe in. And so verse 3 says this, the rest of it says, there he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return to Macedonia. So he was about to leave, and scholars point out that the Jews hated Paul. The Jews hated him, especially in Corinth. If you go back and study it, you'll remember in Acts 18, two of their leaders were led to Christ by Paul. So two high priests were born again because of Paul's preaching. So they hated Paul. They wanted to get rid of Paul. And he says he was about to set sail for Syria, and that's his home there in Antioch is where he's going. And all of a sudden he decided to return back through Macedonia. So why the change of plan? Scholars believe that this plot was somehow revealed to him, whether it was by the Holy Spirit's guiding hand protecting him or some other reason, but he seemed to figure out something was up. And think about it. He's about to get on this ship and set sail. There's Jews all over this ship. They could have easily, and this is what they believed the plot was to kill Paul and throw him overboard. And nobody would ever know. You know, we were just got off this cruise, and I was talking to somebody one day, and I was telling them, you know, how easy it would be for someone, if you were in the wrong place, to grab you and throw you off the ship. And you know what they said? They said, oh, there's cameras everywhere. They're not going to get away with that. I'm like, well, if you're the one thrown over the ship, I mean, it's probably not going to do you very much good to have a camera, because you're out there treading water if you survive. I said, they may catch them, but they may never find you. And I was like, that sounds pretty dumb. But yeah, there are cameras everywhere, but nevertheless, if you're thrown overboard, it's too late. If they would have grabbed Paul, killed him, threw him overboard, nobody may have ever known what happened to him. So, whether it was the Holy Spirit or some other reason, Paul all of a sudden had a drastic change, and he made his way back through Macedonia. So, Paul, I'm sure the Holy Spirit was leading him and helping him. So he was trying to, originally, he was trying to get to Jerusalem for the day of Passover. But that wasn't working very well. So in Acts 20, verse 16, it ended up changing. And it says, for Paul had decided we set sail past, or sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. So originally he was trying to get there for Passover. That didn't work. So he changed it and he wanted to be there for Pentecost. And then he's leaving, headed to on to Spain via Rome. And so there's strength in numbers. I don't know if you know that or not. There's strength in numbers. That's why the devil's always trying to divide us and split us up, because he doesn't want us to be together, because we're stronger when we're together. Amen? Stronger together. Maybe we ought to have t-shirts made that say that, stronger together. Because the devil knows that we're weak when we're separated. Well, Paul knew that too. Look what he says in verse 4. Sopater the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. So seven men from different churches decided to accompany Paul on this trip. Now, of course, they're carrying money in order to give to the church in Jerusalem. And so they don't want to be robbed either. Strength comes in numbers. So all of these men, they are going to travel with him. Verse 5 says, these went on ahead of him and were waiting for us at Troas. That was the rendezvous point, was the city of Troas. And it's a port city in Asia. So they were all going to meet there and then journey together from there. So in verse 6 it says, we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And in 5 days we came to Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. So they sailed from Philippi. I want to point something out to you. I don't want you to miss. There's a wording change in verse 6. It says, but we sailed. Who's the we? Now, of course, there's something that just happened. And that is Luke, who is the author of the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts, has just rejoined the group. And that's why it says we. He was the one writing this. So what happened to Luke? Where's he been all this time? Well, if you go back and you study it, then you'll find that Luke in Acts 16, remember in Philippi, I believe it was, in Acts 16, Paul was told to leave town. He was no longer allowed to stay there at the end of Acts 16. And so they left Luke behind in order to minister, and Paul left. So now Luke is rejoining to continue on the journey with them. So Luke is there. It says they sailed from Philippi to Macedonia. And it says after the days of unleavened bread, that's referring to the Passover. You can find that in Exodus 12. Where the Passover is instituted, which is the unleavened bread was supposed to be eaten. Took 5 days to sail across the Aegean Sea, which was 150 miles to travel across there. And they arrived in Troas to meet up at the rendezvous city with everybody. And it says that they stayed there 7 days. Doesn't explain why they stayed there 7 days. It just says that they stayed there for 7 days. Whether it's to gather supplies, rest, recuperate, prepare, who knows why. But they stayed there for 7 days. So here's what I want you to think about. And Charlie Roberts points this out. He says, circumstances will always try to dictate doubt and unbelief every time. Remember this, faith isn't swayed by circumstances. However, circumstances are always swayed by faith in God's abilities. So when things happen, circumstances change, don't let that be a season of doubt. Let that be a season of faith in God and see what it is that God is up to. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we are grateful for your love for us, and I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through it. I pray that you'd help us to remember it, to walk in it. Lord, I pray that you would just do a great work in us. If there's people who need to know you as Lord and Savior, I pray you would draw them to you today and help them see their need for you. Lord, I pray that you would once again, bless this time and bless this church and help us to walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.